Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shirman Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Et Shalom. We are now in Masachet Shvuot Daf Chav Tet Amud Aleph, taking a look at the 8th Mishnah of the 3rd Perek. Ezuhi Shvuot Shav. We've been defining Shvuot Bitui for most of this Perek, and now what is a Shvuot Shav? Shpala Shanot Et Hayadu Al Adam. If you take an oath which goes against what everybody knows to be true, for instance, Amar Lamud Shel Eben Shuzel Shel Zahav. You identified a particular stone pillar, everybody knows it's stone, and you said it was gold. V'al ha'ishu isha, v'al isha she'ish, a man is a woman is a man, a particular well-known person. Or, nishba al davar she'if sharlo, if you took an oath it's impossible for you to have sinned, like im lo ra'iti gamash borech bavir, like I saw a flying camel. Im lo ra'iti nachash kakarat betabat, or a huge snake the size of an olive press board. Now, the wording of this oath is a little bit strange, we'll get back to it in the Gemara. Amar la'edim, we're going to get to this in the next parak, Shvuat Eidut, but if you told Eidim, come and testify for me, and they say, Shvuat Shalom Na'idcha, they don't take an oath and say we don't know any testimony, which is Shvuat Eidut, they said, we take an oath, we won't come and testify. Or Nishbalu Atalta Mitzvah, any other mitzvah that they cancel, Shalom La'asot Sukkah, Shalom Itolulav, Shalom La'anech Tfilin, classic examples, Zui Shvuat Shav, that's all Shvuat Shav. If you do it intentionally, it's makot. Unintentionally, meaning you don't know that it's a violation, or you don't know that the thing you saw, whatever it was, then you're patur. Now, shvuasho chalki karzu, shvuasho lo ochalana. Now you took an oath to eat a particular loaf, and then an oath not to eat it. Harishona shvuat bitui, vashniya shvuat shav. The first one is shvuat bitui, to eat the loaf. The second one is shvuat shav, because it's like the vatalta mitzvah. Achala, if you ate it, avar shvuat shav. You violated your shvuat shav, which means you already violated the shvuat shav, but you're not in violation of anything more than that which you already got. Lo, because you got it when you said it. Lo achala, but if you didn't eat it, then avar al shvuat bitui also, which means you of course chayav shvuat shav, which when you open your mouth and said it. Plus, if you didn't eat the bread, you violated shvuat bitui. Of course, there's no makot for it because, as we pointed out, that's a lav shen mamasa. Okay. Amar Ula. So Ula, first of all, sets the parameters, we saw this already, of what it means to be well-known to people. He says, V'hu shenikar lishlosha bnei adam. It has to be known to three people. That's what's considered well-known to people. And therefore, if you say that a particular pillar that three people know about is stone, is really gold, then that is a violation of Shvuat Shav. Okay. Nishpal devashi ef sharlin. Lo ra'iti gam aporech bavir. As I mentioned, the language here is a little bit strange. Lo ra'iti gamal porech ba'avir, it should really be im ra'iti, meaning, or an oath, shera'iti. Why is it is the phrasing im lo ra'iti? How do we understand that? Shvua shera'iti lo kamar, ma'im lo ra'iti, what does it mean? Abaya amar tani shvua shera'iti. So Abaya says the proper wording in the Mishnah is Shvua Sheraiti, an oath that I really did see a Gamal Porech Bavir, and then we say that's Yif Sharlo, and as a result of that, it's a Shvuat Shav. Rav Amar, he says, no, we keep the wording of the Mishnah, but Omer Ye Asru Kol Perot Shvaolam Alai Im Lo Raiti Gamal Porech Bavir, where it's really a condition of another statement, and that is that you said, I'm making a neder, all perot or a sodomy, or anything like that, if I didn't see this. Which means that you're committing that, you made it in the form of an oath, so the statement about the flying camel really is an oath. Now, Amar Rav Yehuda Rashi, this statement about a flying camel, Dilma hai gavra tzipora rabachazi v'asik leshma gamla. Maybe the guy saw a big bird flying, which of course is possible. And he called it a gamal. Maybe he meant it that way. When he took the oath, he meant it based on his meaning of gamal. So perhaps you'll suggest that we ignore what he intended and we just pay attention to what he said. That's not true. When beitin is mashbia. That's at the end of the masechet. Omrim lo havei yodea shelo al datcha no mashbiinotcha ela al datein ve al dat beitin. You should know that we're doing it based on what words mean to us, not to you. Now, my time, why do they have to say that? Maybe he saw the guy giving a ball to somebody, and he's calling it a zuz. So therefore, when he's taking an oath that the guy really owes money, or the guy really gave him zuzim, he's using the word zuz kind of flexibly as per his own meaning, and therefore Beit Din has to ensure when it comes to Shvuat HaDayonim that he uses their language, implying that normally we follow his language. Lo, hatam mishum kanya derava. No, there it's because of the trickery, the famous story of kanya derava, where a guy came into court, claimed he had already paid a debt, had a cane in his hand, handed the cane over to the dayan in order to take the shvua, or handed over to the litigant, and said an oath that he had already paid. In reality, the money was inside the cane. So to avoid that, we say what we mean here is clear language and no deception. Okay? Toshma, v'chein matzinu kshishpia Moshe et Yisrael. At the end of Sefer Dvarim, when Moshe has administered an oath to Bnei Yisrael about the Brit, Amar lan du shelo al datchem ani mashpia etchem, I'm not doing it based on your understanding, al dat ha-makom v'al dati, based on Hashem's understanding and mine. Am I? Le malu, kaimu wai da amar lo. Why didn't Moshe just say, do what God said? Isn't because they might turn it around their head and say it means Avodah Zarah, which means we normally do allow for people's subjective meaning. Lo, mishum da Avodah Kochav nami ikri elo. It's because the word aloha does mean Avodah Zarah. Dichtiv, aloha yechez avodah zahav. So, v'lei malu, why doesn't Moshe just say, kaimu Torah, keep the Torah? The answer is chada Torah. Then it would only be one Torah, Torah shvichtav. Why didn't Moshe just say, keep two Torot? The answer is they'll say, that's Torat Chata, Torat Hashem. In other words, any one of these phrases can be understood differently than Moshe meant it. Kaimu kola Torah kula? The answer is, that's Avodat Kochavim, Damar Mar, Chamur Avodat Kochavim, Shekola Koferva, Kamoda Vachola Torah kula. We say that if you observe Avodah Zarah, it's like you kept the whole Torah. And if you violate Avodah Zarah, it's like you violated the whole Torah. So when Moshe said, keep the whole Torah, they would interpret that means just don't do Avodah Zarah. V'leimaluhu kaimu mitzvah. So why doesn't Moshe just say keep the mitzvah? So chada mitzvah. So kaimu mitzvot, keep the mitzvot. So tarte the opposite too. Kol a mitzvot kulan, keep all the mitzvot. So every mitzvah tzitzit, they'll say, ah, diyamamar, mikush kulan, mitzvah tzitzit, connect to kol a mitzvot kulan. Yeah, the Garashi Ramban, machlok, whatever way that is, the Gematria, the color, whatever it is, but mitzvah tzitzit is compared to all the mitzvot. So again, people will interpret it differently. Leimaluhu kaimu sheshmeot ushtoshishme mitzvot. Why didn't Moshe just say, keep all 613? All right, so theoretically, he could have said that. But think about Moshe's statement that we have on record. He said, you're doing it based on my understanding and Hashem's understanding. Why did he say both? Once he said my understanding, he's already knocked out their subjective understanding. The answer is he did it because a neder al dat rabim is there's no hafara, and that's why they can never get out of it. So that was the reason, and nothing to do with our assumption about the way we normally read shvuot as being subjective meaning. Okay, you said you've never that it's possible to have seen a snake that's that big. In the period of Shavar Malka, in the middle of the 3rd century, there was a famous snake. There was a snake that was so big it was able to eat up 13 stables worth of grain. So Amar Shmuel Bataruf. Shmuel says it doesn't mean the size, but it means to have serrated, like streaked things on its back. Kulana Mitrof Trifin, all snakes look like that. The answer is Bishagavo Taruf, that the back looks like the wood of olive press. You know, it's something bizarre. Whatever it is, the oath is something that's just unworldly. Okay, Shvuah Shochal Kikar Zoom. Shvuah Shaloh Chalena. If you took this oath in two opposite directions, so wait a second. Ashma mishum shvuat pito michayev mishum shvuat shavlo michayev. Think about this: if you're chayev for not eating the bread, why are you only chayev for pito and not for shvuat shav? The answer is I already gave it away. Esta shvuat l'shav. I'm Rabbi Yirmiya Tani afal shvuat pito. What it means is that if you eat the bread, then you've already violated shvuat shav. There's nothing more. If you don't eat the bread, then you not only violated Shvuat Shav when you open your mouth, you're also now violated Shvuat Bitui when you let the day go by, or however long the period was, and didn't eat the bread. Okay, the last Mishnah. Shvuat Bitui nohege panashim uvanashim bikrovim uvrechokim b'ksharin uvipsulim b'fnei beitim v'shlo b'fnei beitim. Now, this all sounds very obvious, but it's got to be compared against the first Mishnah and the fourth parak, which limits Shvuat Eidut to men and rechokim and ksharin and only b'fnei beitim. Sort of. If you atzmo, it's only chayev if you make the oath yourself. Meaning, not if somebody else administers the oath. That we already know. Shvuat Bitui applies to men, women, whether they're related or not related to somebody that is part of their formulation, whether they're kosher leidut or not, in beitin, not in beitin, whether you take the oath on your own, though, and we know what the consequences are. Shvuat Shav, on the other hand, noheged panashim v'nashim v'chokim v'kovim v'ksherin v'sulin, v'vejit lo v'nei beitin, u'pi atzmo. But the only difference is, v'chayavin al zdorah makot v'alshingata patur, which we already saw. Now, achatzu v'achatzu, in both cases, ha'mumushpa mi'pi achirim chayav. If somebody administers the oath, and you say amen, as we'll see, then you're chayav. So, im lo achalti ayom v'lo enachti tfilin ayom, a guy says, I didn't eat today, I didn't put on tfilin. The other guy says, mashpia achani, and the other guy says, amen, chayav. By saying amen, you're chayav. Now, Amar Shmuel, kol ha'une amen achar shvua kimotzi shvua mipiv dami. Anybody who answers amen to a shvua, it's like he said it. So that's not even called mipi achirim. Dichtiv yamra isha amen amen. That's the sota, and the shvua, the consequence of the sota only kicks in because she accepted the shvua. She made the shvua by saying amen. Apapri fei derava. Maninu breita nami deka. I could get that out of this mishnah in breita. Ditani shvua taidut, the next mishnah that we'll have. Only people who could be made. And add in line that we have to deal with in the next sugya. It happens whether or not the oath is taken in the presence of Beitin. But if somebody else administers the Shvuah to Eidut, you're only chayiv if you deny the knowledge of the Eidut in Beitin itself. That's for Meir. The Tanya Rebraita, Shvuat Haidut Ketzad, how does it work? So he says to two guys, come and testify. They took a Shua, that they don't know anything to help him. Or he says to them, I'm making you take an oath, and they say, Amen. Mayor says, whether you did it inside of Beitin or not in Beitin, they're chayav, which proves to you that if you say Amen after Shvuah, it's like you said it yourself, and that's called a piatzmo. So kasha nahadadi, elav shvami nahadon amen hadalo an amen. The problem between the Breit and the Mishnah is that our Meir in the Mishnah says that only if you're nishba mi piatzmo, and then you deny it outside of Beitin or Yechayiv. If you nishba mi piacherim, you have to deny it in Beitin to be chayiv. And the Breit, he said, even when the guy administers the oath, and you say amen, and then you deny it outside of Beitin, you're still chayiv. So the solution is, if you said amen, it's like you said it yourself. Hadalona amen, but in the Mishnah, you didn't say amen. The other guy just said a shvuah and just sat there silently or just said no. Then you're only chayiv if you deny it in Beitin. Good, so we got Shmuel's point sort of out of this whole combination as a resolution or a mayor. Am Ravina Mishmei Duravam at Nitin Dahacha Namideka. Our Mishnah also supports that the Katani Shvuat Bitu Neged Banashim Anashim Rechokim Akovim Kshenu Upsulin Fevei Tzlo B'fnei Beitim Piatzmo In Piacherim Lo Only Piatzmo Tani Sefer. But at the end it said Zeve Zeve Shvam Piacherim Chayav. So if it only said Piatzmo, and then at the end of the Mishnah it said both Bitu and Shav Piacherim work. Shkashin Adadi. We have a contradiction. Shomina Hadon Amen Hadlo An Amen. So even our Mishnah, which contradicts itself, is only resolved by saying if you said Amen, then it counts. If not, not. Well, Shmuel, my Kamashlan. So, what's Shmuel teaching us if this is already in the Mishnah and Breita in the next parak in our Mishnah here? The answer is Duk Yidamat Nitin Kamashlan. He's teaching us to read the Mishnah carefully and to identify that halacha that Ona Amen Achar Shvuah Kavotzi Shvuah Impiv Dami, which means there's three ways here. You could take the oath yourself, initiate it yourself. Somebody else can administer the oath, but you say amen, it's like you said it yourself. Or somebody else can administer an oath, and you don't say amen to it, you don't protest it. And then that's called totally mushpam piacherim, and that only works in the case of shvuat ha'itut. Okay, we finished our study of the third parak, shvuat shtayim. As Hashem, we will begin our study of the fourth parak, shvuat ha'itut, in the next podcast. In the meantime, everybody should have a wonderful day.